All right, hi everyone. You are listening to the OK Podcast. As always, my name is Alyssa. And before I, call on my guest this evening, which is when I'm recording it, this evening, I kind of wanted to do my little spiel about this week's episode and what we're going to talk about. So one of the taboos, I think, in my life and a lot of people's lives is talking about money, right? It's a really hard topic. Especially now during the pandemic, it's tough because a lot of people are out of work, and medical. There's just so many issues with medical debts because of the coronavirus and all of these extraneous issues that it makes money a very tough topic to talk about. For me, I'm very lucky to still be employed, and this was very eye-opening for me. I think I am very, very careless with my money. And if the coronavirus has taught me anything, it's that, nothing is permanent. You could lose your job. There are things that can happen to where you want to have something saved up to where you can use it as necessary. So that being said, I have someone who is my most famous guest so far. She is a TikTok celebrity, which I'm serious. This girl almost has 300,000 followers on TikTok, which is so cool. She is your rich BFF. So, and I'm going to be referring to her as such. So if that's how we're doing it, but hey, how are you?
Hey, Alyssa, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you
Really
so much for coming. So glad that you're here. I think that you will have like just really good insight for my listeners.
totally.
Yeah, so my question for you is like, can you please give me some of the background that you have in finance and then how it ultimately led to, this really awesome TikTok account?
Totally. Funnily enough, I went to the University of Chicago. So if any of the listeners know, it's a pretty finance-heavy school. Lots of graduates end up in finance. And like many others, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I did know that I wanted to, one, make a good living because I didn't want to ask my parents for money ever again. I wanted to do something that was super challenging and I wanted to do something that was fun. So I was very fortunate enough to get a trading job on Wall Street, and I started on the equities desk covering industrials, materials, and energy, which is like AKA stocks. And then I actually switched over to the risk arbitrage section of equities. So focusing on stocks that were going through mergers, acquisitions, spin-offs, takeovers, stuff like that. I end up leaving Wall Street and feeling like I wanted to do something that was going to give me more autonomy, that I was going to have a better work-life balance, also where I could make more money and my compensation was going to be less tied to the performance of the market. So I ended up moving over to tech media, and a lot of my new coworkers and my new friends were asking me things like, Viv, like, what's a 401k? You worked in finance. Like, what is an HSA? Should I be contributing to this? Like, should we be buying our company stock options? And at a certain point, I was like, listen, too many people are pinging me about this. I'm just going to make a funny TikTok and you guys can watch it there.
For all future questions, please refer to my TikTok account, not directly to me.
Exactly. But it was also just super timely, right? With COVID hitting, people were in financial duress. People who had had stable, great jobs for years were out of work and not really sure what to do. And I saw some pretty sketchy financial advice going around. So I was like, you know what? I think this might be really cool to like help teach financial literacy more broadly. I made my very first video on January 1st, and I never would have guessed it would have blown up the way it did. But I do think that's kind of like a testament, right, to how much people actually want easily digestible, short form financial literacy.
Yeah, your account is awesome. You've amassed, it's at your rich BFF, and you've amassed almost 300,000 followers since January 1st. So it's been, a month and a half. That's incredible. And yeah, I'm a big fan of your TikToks and I watch them too. And it's awesome that something you're passionate about is presenting so much value and help to other people. I think about, what I'm passionate about, and I guess it's like talking a lot and then like watching Chopped reruns, and who does that help? Probably not even me. So it's cool. It's cool that like to see this craft that you enjoy doing and all this information that you're sitting on, you're helping others get into a better place financially.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of the whole purpose of why I started the channel.
Awesome. Thank you. So you mentioned, COVID, really kind of displacing a lot of people and needing to dip into your emergency funds and are at a loss of a job and a paycheck, and it's just been so horrible for so many people. So the importance of an emergency fund, I think, is something that I've started to think of as well. And I don't, I'm a huge shopper. Like I love to just really be irresponsible with my money. And I think now more than ever, I'm starting to think like, oh, okay, maybe I should, I don't know, have more than $30 to my name to if something were to happen. And I know you had mentioned you had a funny story involving an emergency fund, if you want to share that.
I guess it's quote unquote funny.
Right. Like, ha.
My 25th birthday, it was like on a Wednesday. So then that Saturday, I had planned a little get together with a bunch of my friends. And I had actually booked out like a private section of this fun bar. Like it was like a tequila and tacos bar. And I was really excited. And that same afternoon, I was going to make myself a sandwich, and I took a bread knife and was cutting into like a French baguette roll, and it slipped off the top of the bread, of
Oh
the
my
outside.
God.
I saw a small nub of my finger fall onto the counter, and all I could say was, "Oh my God, oh no, I have to go to the hospital." To
Oh
keep the
my
story short,
God. And you, that br and now the way you describe like the bread, that the knives slip off of that kind of bread. So, oh my God, that sounds like painful. Like
right?
I've cut that bread before.
It really, really could have happened to anybody, and it so sucked. Fortunately, I didn't take a trip in like a wee wagon. Like I got in a yellow cab and went to the nearest hospital.
Oh yeah, you didn't get into the Hummer limo of healthcare, the ambulance. Might as well just run a party bus for the amount that they charge you for those.
Right. I went to the ER. I was in the ER for 6 hours, the vast majority of which I was just sitting in a room, like with my boyfriend and like crying. I got x-rays taken. I was given like some, numbing stuff shot into my finger.
Oh.
And, it was a horrible experience. Worst birthday of my life, even including COVID birthday.
Yeah.
What was really, really scary wasn't even just the fact that all that happened. A month after it all happened, I got a bill, or it wasn't necessarily a bill, it was like an original statement that that whole process cost $16,000.
Yeah, yikes. That, yeah, that's probably worse than cutting your finger off. I'm like, keep
Right.
the finger. Keep the tip of my finger. I don't have $16,000.
Yeah, and I'm very, very fortunate that my employer has awesome medical coverage. But the final bill for me still ended up being like $1,300, which compared to 16 sounds like a walk in the park. But even so, there's that stat out there that says like 50% of American families are a $400 unexpected expense away from financial ruin. I felt very, very
Wow.
fortunate and very privileged that I could afford three times that but the overall message was just the fact that like this could have happened to anyone.
Right.
Accidents happen when you least can afford for them to. And having a savings account is so, so important to make sure that you are able to buoy yourself in case something like this does happen.
Right. Right. No, I know. There's been situations where I've had to go to the hospital unexpectedly, or like, I don't know, something break, like I had a chair that I needed to replace or something like that. And you're like, man, this is going to be a couple of $100 that I just was not expecting. So it's good to have that rainy day fund, which seems like you were able to cover yourself, in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Great.
All right. So I really want to get into your TikTok account and kind of like maybe give an overview of some of the things that you've talked about recently and some of the tips. I know one of the ones that in your early stages that I went to was you had a bunch of book recommendations on how to become financially literate on your own. And I'm the kind of person, I like to do the research for myself. So of course I bought all the books and I haven't read them yet. So I don't know how good I'm doing with saving up my money, because I spent like $40 and haven't done anything. But, you know, over time, I'm sure I will move them from my bookshelf to my side table, and then maybe I'll read them one day. But no, I think like it's like the short form content piece that you mentioned earlier, I think that's super important. It's like easily digestible. Like not everyone wants to get like a finance textbook and like learn like they're back in school. So like these little videos, it seems like you're making this kind of information that can be safeguarded more accessible. So I would love to hear just like some of like maybe some of your favorite ones that you've posted, or some of the key points that you try and address on your page.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I feel like a lot of this information, for one reason or another, is like gate kept from broad audiences, which is so silly. But I think some of my favorite topics that I've covered thus far have been like retirement. You know, TikTok is such a platform for young people, and to see 15-year-olds be like, should I start saving for retirement?
Like, yeah, it's like, what?
It's like so refreshing and awesome, because like the answer is yes.
Yeah.
The sooner you start, the less money you have to put in, because of the way compound interest can grow, and like for young people to start thinking about finance in that way, for something like that typically people are like, oh, like I don't need to worry about this until I'm like 35. But like the sooner you start, the less challenging it'll be, and the more money you'll have when you retire. And then I guess another area or subject that I thought was really cool, finance has never been like the sexy, like, you know, stunning, cool headline that everybody wants to read about it, until recently. You know, with the GameStop AMC stuff, I feel like finance is finally thrust into like the front page. And, you know, for better or for worse, like people were talking about it, and some of the concepts that were happening were a little bit more confusing, like short selling, what a short squeeze was. And I explained short selling with Gatorade, and I explained short selling talking about bean burritos. And, you know, people in the comments were like, wow, not me finally understanding what this means when. But you know, I think me being able to break something down into something much easier to digest, and then seeing people have that, like, you know, light bulb click moment is awesome.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, like your point doesn't have to be gate kept information like the proletariat has access to. Like, come on. I think that we all deserve to be able to just like educate ourselves, and like, I don't know, I have $5 in my pocket. What can I do with that? Should I just put it away somewhere? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not just breaking down, oh, I have a couple extra dollars. Like, let's see what, instead of buying something that I don't need with it, every little bit counts. And you mentioned GameStop, and I guess I'll pivot to this part of what I was thinking. But, you know, from an outsider's perspective, you see what happens with GameStop, and it's like the big guys versus like the little guys, right? And it seems like maybe from an outsider's perspective, a little discouraging because you're like, wow, a bunch of people are like banding together to do well for themselves and make some money. And then it immediately was like, wait a minute, you can't do that. But billionaires are kind of impacting the market every day. And I guess I don't know a ton about the stock market. I know that like ultimately the price, like, is GameStop worth $400 a share? No. But it's
game store.
I'm like, yeah, all right. Everyone wanted to buy a Nintendo Switch during quarantine, but you know what? is it worth $400 a share? I don't think so. But like, so what would you say to the people that want to get into it? Is it a fair thing for like a little guy to aspire to make some money, or do you think that, you know, ultimately it's a gate kept area?
No, I mean, that's such a great point. I think more people have been in the financial markets since COVID hit than ever before. Most market strategists don't think that's going to change even once coronavirus ends. People are becoming more and more hands-on with their own finances. And furthermore, I think this has kind of shown that like the little guy, the retail investor, does have power. And although this GameStop situation obviously came down as fast as it went up, you know, I think this has just opened a lot of people's eyes to like, they should be investing instead of just having that money sit in a bank account. And I think, you know, having this opportunity and just seeing something that looks like this in the headlines of the news has really incited a lot more curiosity. And I think a lot more people are going to learn about this and research it on their own time. And I really do genuinely hope that more people can become financially literate and, you know, participate in the market.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great way to look at it. And hopefully, you know, I mean, like there, some stocks are under $1, $3. And I made like $5 on something once and I was like, yeah, like this is awesome. Like I just clicked a couple buttons and now I have five whole dollars that I didn't have before. Like it's, I don't know. I think it's fun. Like my one friend who does a lot of like trading, they said, and I'm sure you can agree with this rule, it's like only put in what you're willing to lose or what you're okay losing.
Yep.
So I think that's like a good starting point, right? It's like, don't, you know, I think one of your TikToks was replying to someone like put in like every dollar to their name because they heard a lot of hype around something. And then these things can go sour so quickly, which is like why it's just so risky. So whenever I'm doing something, it's like very small increments, but it's cool to see that pay off. And maybe one day I can be a little bit more risky, but right now it's just, that's not the case, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't give investment advice or financial advice by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think for the vast majority of, you know, everyday folk like you and me, looking to ETFs and mutual funds so that your exposure can be a little bit more diversified because there's a bunch of stocks in that basket is a nice way to reduce your risk. That's definitely the stuff that I'm allocated in for my personal retirement funds and my retirement savings. And then in terms of like picking stocks and making those choices, exactly, totally agree. Put what you feel like you can afford to lose in. And if, you know, people want to learn but are really afraid of losing money, my number one suggestion is always paper trade. 0% risk, 100% learning. Like paper trading is the best thing ever because you essentially can have this fake starter pool of money and play a trading simulation game and follow the real market along as you make these decisions without losing anything in case anything does go wrong. But the next round, you'll have that experience and be that much wiser.
Oh, cool. And with paper trading, if you do well, you don't get it either, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, with paper trading, it's imaginary. You are just trading like in a simulation, essentially.
But, gotcha. Okay, cool. Imagine, like, it's like, oh, if you do badly, you don't get any penalty, but if you do well, you get the money. It's like, well, then what? So that was a stupid question by me, but...
If somebody tells you, if you do badly, there's no consequences, but if you do well, you get the money, that's probably a Ponzi scheme, and you should run.
Yeah, right. It's an MLM or something. Hey, girl, you want to make millions from your couch and be your own boss?
Oh, gosh. I need three boss babes.
So, your rich BFF, with every content creator comes haters and trolls. And it's so sad to see. But you know what? When you're successful, people will hate, unfortunately. And I was watching your TikTok earlier today, and I saw one where, you know, someone was basically claiming that you didn't know what you were talking about, and you're like, actually, and then like listed a bunch of certifications that you have in finance and like gave your accreditations, which no one should ever have to do, but you definitely owned him, and I was like so happy to watch that. And I guess, like, what is your experience, you know, being a woman in an industry dominated by white men, and like people questioning your legitimacy in something because you look a certain way? Like, this is always just something that I think about, and it comes up in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, I think back when I was in finance, it was very, very easy to look around and be like, oh, there's, you know, Brad, Chad, and Tad, but there's not that many people that like me, or, you know, or other women, period, or like other people of color, period. And I think that in part is why I wanted to start the TikTok, because, you know, I think there's a plethora of white males talking about finance, but there isn't enough female representation in the space. And with that, to your point, does come haters. Like, I don't see anybody asking, you know, the male finance TikTokers, like, what makes you qualified to, like, tell us these things? Like, but that was the number one question when I first started the channel. Like, what makes you qualified? How do I know you're not sketchy? I'm like, well, you wouldn't have asked this to me if I was a white guy.
Wearing a vest.
Right, exactly. Wearing Patagonia vest. But I'm happy to be transparent with the past certifications that I had held, you know, my experience. And again, the foremost thing being, I don't provide investment or financial advice, period. My entire channel is about learning. And I've seen some people on TikTok basically pick stocks and be like, you guys should buy these. And I'm like, ooh, that's not really
yikes.
Whereas I like to enable my audience with the tools that they need, that they can make their own smart financial choices.
I love that. You're empowering the youth, the Gen Z and millennials on TikTok. But no, it's important. Like, anyone that's telling strangers to buy a stock online, like, first of all, that should raise some flags to you, because it's like, are you just trying to get this stock price to go up so you make more? Like, what's happening, you know?
Right, exactly.
But that's really awesome. So, you know, I thank you so much for your time. I think if we could leave it at anything, what is one piece of information that you want to leave my listeners with about moving forward with the accessibility of finance, and just give you some parting wisdom?
Yeah, absolutely. The number one thing I think people should be thinking about with their own finances is just getting educated quickly and catching up, because I think it's a huge miss on our education system that we don't teach this stuff in school. I have never in my life used the Pythagorean theorem after, like, algebra.
Wait, you don't use it at work? Right, that's weird. Exactly.
That, to, like, calculate the distance you can walk to the subway? No, I don't. I got under the scaffolding so I don't get rained on. But, you know, it would have been nice to, like, learn how to do my taxes, because that's kind of important if you don't want to go to prison. You know, I think having that education is a huge barrier in itself, because you're missing out on those first 18 years of school that you could have been getting that. And, you know, other than that, I think finance also has a lot of vocabulary. So it's really easy to get overwhelmed if you don't know what these words mean. It's almost like learning a new language. So I always really recommend, you know, one, getting yourself financially literate through reading, buying books, renting or, you know, borrowing books from the library. I use Investopedia still. And I also think that, like, just reading the news, keeping up with, like, the Wall Street Journal, Yahoo Finance, the Financial Times, can really, really help. And you don't realize how much you pick up through osmosis just by reading.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you so much. As always, listeners, follow my friend at Your Rich BFF on TikTok and unfollow me at FoteHeyHey on Instagram. And I promise you, you're going to have a great time moving forward. But with that, thank you so much.